Here's what really got my attention that you guys probably did not think about. Do you know what's going on in California in the next 2 to 4 years?
72,000 policies canceled. That's a lot of people that have no insurance.
You know what's so insane? The government has so much power to do things, but they also have so much power to do nothing.
Unless the federal government steps in, does something about the regulations, the permitting, to help address that issue for the next 4 years, next 6, 8 years in rebuilding, there's gonna be shortages of all trades.
Inflations.
Massive inflations of labor. People are gonna start making from 500 a day to 2,000 a day, just working on a crew.
Listen, California doesn't use stick built. Can we make that shift in the modular game to make modular pieces out of cinder blocks, out of cement, to fight these fires? Will the government take this land away from them?
This just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Guys, welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast, powered by Soderbrook. Guys, round of applause. That
was Brendan to be back.
Yep, super happy to be back. Guys, with the number one Tiny Home Podcast, powered by Soderbrook, building dreams, transforming lives.
Every single day.
Kyler, before we start this podcast, what should our crowd do?
Go like our page, number one. Share it with the audience, because that is the only marketing that we have, is you guys sharing the podcast, liking the podcast, subscribing to our podcast, and to share it with the world, because that's our main goal, is to share it out there into the world.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Guys, listen, do not underestimate the impact you can make on our podcast by a simple like, subscribing, and dropping a comment. It helps the algorithm. There is somebody out there that needs our product, that needs to hear what we have to say. And if you can help us out with that, I would greatly appreciate that. But not only that, Colton, why should they? I'm gonna drop a hint. Guys, stay tuned to the end, because we might have something that will blow your mind, Colton. Kyler, that's pretty weird. What do you think? Give him a hint. Tease them a little.
Might be giving away a what? We can't say.
Can't say.
For real. Subscribe.
Subscribe, guys.
Stay to the end of the podcast.
Stay till the end of the podcast.
Let's go.
Guys, listen, we have an amazing podcast coming up. We're gonna talk about current events. Not only in our industry, but in America. I mean, we're going to hit some sensitive topics, some very happy topics, and we're definitely going to end with a lot of love. We're going to end with a lot of excitement, guys. But first, I want to hit on the fires basically plaguing Southern California. Very unfortunate. There was reported 85, I believe, lives lost. Over 15,000 acres and burned real estate.
I believe over $250 billion so far in real estate damage.
Wow. You know, and it sucks to start the podcast on such a sad note, but it's these events that you can't even prepare for, some people say.
It's a history. Like, it's something for the history books that we would, you know, we will look back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. And, you know, we're going to talk about today, this time of
world
events. As now, how does America recover from that? How does people that have lost their homes, you know, they might not have insurance. Insurance companies might have dropped them. What are they going to be doing? How can we help? You know, another topic that we're going to talk about is, you know, are people going to stay in California, or are they going to move to, you know, more states like Texas that are more affordable home friendly, Florida, Georgia, and to these, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, are they going to stay in California, or are they going to, you know, be moving out of California because, you know, the government, there's no help there. I think $770. Thank you, Biden. for the victims. I mean, to be real, $770 is going to buy the, you know, in California, 1 week's of groceries and
maybe gas. Maybe
if there's any gas available. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Before we get into that, Colton, you were mentioning we're going to do something very special to help the families affected by these fires. If you want to take the stage just for 1 minute, talk about what we're going to do, talk about the impact Saddlebrook wants to make, and how we want to help the community.
Yes, until the end of the month, we're going to be giving $100 per home sold until the end of January to all of the victims in California, whether that's to a church, whether that's to a nonprofit organization, just to help the victims of California. So if you want to help the victims of California as well, this would be a perfect time to do that. We can help, navigate some funds. If you have any funds to give, we can tell you, where we're giving as well. But until the end of the month, Saddlebrook is going to be giving $100 per home sold to the victims of California, until the end of January.
Wow. And I appreciate that. And it's a sensitive topic for me. My mom lives in Southern California, and she's just like 10 miles, 15 miles outside of where these fires are happening. And the fact that you can see this devastation, I mean, the traffic, the chaos, I mean, everyone's getting sent back home to work. So not only did your home burn down, but now your business burned down. But even if your business didn't burn down, everything is closed. You're not working.
Right.
Businesses are closed. I mean, it's a huge financial impact, unlike we've never seen before. So I want to personally thank you for what you're doing with Saddlebrook. Those donations, Kyler and Colton, super awesome. And will we have a donation link for someone to donate?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that would be the best thing to do. But definitely, guys, if you find it in your heart to donate, that would be super amazing. God sees your giving. And if not only God, but these people see your giving as well.
Absolutely.
So they really
do need our help. I don't think there's many people, especially the government, that's stepping in and helping. The biggest thing that we don't even talk about is like they lost power, they lost water, they don't have access to showers. What are they going to be doing for their families? And a lot of them have lost everything. Their most valuable things from generations and generations. But now they're just, a lot of those people are just in survival mode. And, it's going to take months, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's going to be the hardest months for them.
Wow.
Not now. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of money flooding in today, but what about 2 months? What about 3 months? How are they going to rebuild if the insurance doesn't cover fire coverage? A lot of thoughts going through my head this morning is another one that I was studying on. The average age in Los Angeles today, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, he's 37 years old. My question to the audience and to you and Kyler here is, so if you're 37 and you're at that age, you have a family of 2, 3, 4 kids, you have a wife, and now you just seen your home burn down. You're in the years of, making a lot of money and wanting to start a business. You're going to go home and talk to your wife, and you're going to be like, do we want to rebuild here in California for an insane amount of build back price? Do we want to start a business that the government doesn't protect me from rioters? There's hundreds of thousands of rioters right now rioting in Los Angeles because they're taking, the opportunity because everybody's out of the area.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's another big thing. Looting is huge.
And, what is the government doing about that? Nothing. They can't do anything about it. So if you're 37 and you have a family, and you look at everything that's going on in California, and you're going to, you have to ask yourself, am I willing to stay and rebuild in the state that didn't protect me from the wildfires, had no water, or do I move to another state that have family values, have business values that are going to help my small business grow, and the build back or, buying a house is cheaper, the cost of living is cheaper. What do you think that those people will do when they go look at everything and they're like, okay, I have two options. I can either move out of the state now or try to rebuild, build back my business, or start a new business, or just have a job. What do you think that people of California are thinking right now?
Yeah, right now, very split, 50-50. A lot of us here in Texas, we look at California like lost, right? We think California is just a lost state. They're poorly governed. And I get that perspective. And there are a lot of people in California who have lost a lot of hope and their governor, Gavin Newsom. They were one foot in, one foot out in Cali, and this is just the final straw. For those people, I really do believe that they will find other states, Las Vegas, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, all these neighboring states. Me personally, I don't think they'll make the dramatic shift to the East Coast, because when you're in the West Coast, you still want to have that little bit of a West Coast feel. I believe that the people that have lost faith in their state are really mad that their state wasn't there to protect them. We'll move to Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, right? Not sure if they'll go to the East Coast, just my opinion. But then there's the other half, Colton, that they were born and raised LA. They see everything that's going on. It saddens their heart, but they're super loyal to LA. I mean, we're talking about, yes, average age is 37. But I don't know if you've seen the news, guys. There was a lady who went back to her home, to Altadena, California. And she went with tears, taking that left to her community. Like, dude, this was 26 years. This was 26 years.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. Personally, I believe there is a battle between staying and leaving. I don't think leaving is as easy as just, okay, my house burned down, my state isn't going to protect me.
Right.
I'm going to leave. I mean, but think about even in our personal lives, and not even to get deep, how many things do we need to leave behind that we're still keeping to ourselves, that we're still keeping relevant to our lives, that we should have left behind, right?
Quite a few.
Because it's hard to let go. These people are crying. They will never, even if you build a new home, they will never have that void filled that 26 years of living in a house can do to you. Seeing your children grow up. At that point, you're seeing your grandchildren grow up in that house. And it goes all to ashes. But, you know, I'm very concerned about, like, the $72,000 of canceled policies. And I don't want to become like a conspiracy theorist, but why would that happen? Like, give me your option. Give me like your opinion, Kyler. What goes through your head when you hear that 72,000 policies canceled, and then you see the biggest fire in California history, over 15,000 acres of land burned, Kyler?
Yeah, I was doing some research while you were talking, and I've got three perspectives on that. And here's what I think. Number one, of course, it's going to be the insurance, and it's going to be families that, you know, hey, do you want to leave? Do you not want to leave? Depending on if the insurance companies are paying. And number three is, if you decide to stay, what's the cost of is it going to be to rebuild if you didn't get insurance, right? So first, let's get to the topic of insurance. Let's just say your policy was canceled, and it wasn't only California that the policy is canceled. You've got Florida, you've got North Carolina, you know, all these got these states that have been canceling policies. 72,000 policies canceled. That's a lot of people that have no insurance.
Right.
And if you have a home that's, what's the average cost of home in California? Probably 500?
Probably 600.
Probably 550.
Yeah.
But that's what the price was. What's the cost going to be if, let's just hypothetically say, if you didn't have insurance, but maybe you did, 50% of people did, maybe 50% didn't.
Yeah.
What's the cost going to be to rebuild when 500 people decide, hey, I want to build a home? What's going to happen to the lumber prices going up? Because that's the first thing that came to my mind, is saying, okay, if I do stay in California, how many people are going to start rebuilding? That's, and then my insurance company's not giving me enough money.
And I want to give a quick perspective there, and then I'll go back to you. That's something that we didn't even think about. How many people are going to actually, how many companies are going to take advantage of all of this with lumber prices? I didn't even think about that, but thank you, Kyler, for bringing that up.
Number two. I've got three perspectives. Number two is, you have a family and you've grown up there. Do I want to stay there? Do I want to leave? I believe the families are going to do what's best for their family. And that might be moving to Texas, where there's a home already built, or moving to New Mexico, moving to Vegas, because they got to go somewhere. They have to move somewhere. Is there enough homes to buy in the state of California? I don't think so. If there is, I think the prices are too much. And if the insurance companies are taking months and months to pay out, they're going to have to go rent somewhere. So either they're going to move, and they're going to move to a state like Texas or Florida or some of the better states, because I believe that families are going to do what's best for their family. That's my opinion. That's what I would do.
And also, you did miss one point, permits. How long is it going to take California to pull the permits, the civil engineering, the structural engineering, the general contracting, the framers, yeah, the finishers, the flooring guys? If they have that much demand, number one is permits. How hard is it going to be to be able to get permits right now? Absolutely. It's super hard in Los Angeles to pull any permits. So will they expedite permits, or is it going to be a 2 to 4 or 5 year process just to pull a permit for you to be able to build a house? And so now you can't even rebuild for 2 to 5 years. And so what's the price is going to be in building a house in 5 years versus today? Well, I can assure you it's going to be a lot more in 5 years than today. But that's if California doesn't step in and say, okay, we're going to expedite these permits and this, you know, the civil engineers and the structural engineers. Are they going to be able to do that in the next 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say so, but
yeah, here's my last opinion. Here's my last perspective that I had. Let's just say the insurance was canceled on your home, but let's say you had a $300,000 or $400,000 left on your mortgage. What happens to that? Can that get paid? If the insurance doesn't pay, now you're going to debt?
Isn't the insurance supposed to pay what the home is worth?
If it's I'm not sure what the rules are. If the policy gets canceled, that's just a perspective that I had. And the thing that you said about the permits, the only way, I don't think the state of California can override it. I think that's a thing that the government comes in, the White House, where the Trump just says, hey, we're wiping out all the for the next 4 years. You need to build up to code, because in the state in North Carolina, when the flood came, everybody knows floods came and damaged a bunch of homes. You still have to build up to code.
Right.
But the permits is a faster process, and I think it's going to be a mess for a little bit. It's going to take a lot of cleanup, but people got to go somewhere. That's my three takes on it. I think that there's going to be people that are going to leave the state. There's people that want to stay in the state, but they're going to have to go rent.
Absolutely.
That's just my perspectives on the whole thing, and that's my opinion on what's going to happen.
Sure. I'll say this, and I'll play devil's advocate real quick. There's one thing that worries me a lot, right? Number one, we have a new president-elect coming in, and he does not get along with Gavin Newsom. I really hope and pray that they put their egos and prides aside and work together.
Or are going to have to.
They're going to have to. All right?
He's not answering the phone.
Who? Trump's not answering the phone? Could he change his number? You see, listen, guys. I mean, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you can agree, right? Like, hey, put your egos to the side. There's actually people that need help. Right. I did see an interview with Gavin Newsom, right? And he did say two promising things. Well, the conspiracy theorists come out and say, well, all of Malibu was burned. Okay, so we're going to focus on the beautiful areas first and then leave the impoverished, infected, or whatever you want to call it, areas last. Gavin Newsom said, no, I mean, if you're in a impoverished neighborhood or Malibu, we will take care of you the same way. That's what he said. It's very positive to hear from him, you know, even though I don't quite agree with him on a lot of things. That was very nice of him to say. Number two, that you probably didn't think about, property taxes when you build a new home goes through the roof. Would you agree?
I agree.
Yep. And he said, hey, we are making sure that your property tax stays the same and your property tax will not improve. Listen.
For how many years?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. But you know what Gavin Newsom is trying to install in Californian residents is that, hey, we're going to take care of you. And right now, unfortunately, we have no other choice but then to try to believe what he says. But not only that. Here's what really got my attention that you guys probably did not think about. Do you know what's going on in California in the next 2 to 4 years?
Olympics.
And the World Cup. Olympics is 4 years away. Mm-hmm. The World Cup is only 2 years away.
Wow.
The FIFA World Cup.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, in Dallas, in New York City. But the semifinals, I believe, or the quarterfinals are going to be held in LA.
You said Dallas?
Yes.
What's happening in Dallas?
The semifinals of the World Cup.
Wow.
And then the finals will be held.
Can we get tickets?
Heck yeah. So actually, to get tickets to the World Cup, you have to be on like a queue. So maybe we should talk about that after the podcast. But yeah, guys, listen, that is going to bring so many tourists into LA. I'm not talking about only from America. I'm talking about from Italy, from England, from France, from China, from India. I mean, it's the World Cup. People are super passionate about their sport, football or soccer in America. They are incentivized by money, by business to rebuild California.
Fast.
You know, and I've seen a lot of these luxury modular homes go up in Cali, or these luxury 400 square foot ADUs with like a big garage on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can build it, but I mean, to be honest, there's going to be a huge transfer of wealth in Cali.
I do have one request for the governor of California. Here's my request. Approve modular housing to rebuild California in half the time. The time that it takes for us to build a modular home versus an on-site crew to build a stick frame home is cut down in half, if not faster. Allow modular housing to come in and help rebuild California at twice the speed, twice the quality, and still be up to code. That's what I request.
Would you go out to California absolutely. For a contract?
Absolutely. And it's maybe we're talking to Donald Trump that we need to get on the phone with Trump and say, look, make a federal grant that you help this get approved a lot faster. And then there's grants that help modular home companies come into California, know how to acquire the permits and install housing. Between a few modular home companies, mm-hmm. we could build thousands of homes in less than a year. So, Mr. President, if you're listening to this, go approve modular housing in the state of California, and me, 24-year-old Colton, will take this company. We'll go build all your homes in California. So, if you're seeing this message, you can reach out to us at Saddlebrook Live, and we'll get it done for you.
Guys, before viewers, if you know Donald Trump personally,
Send him this message.
But not only that, guys, again, thank you so much for watching the Tiny Home Podcast. Still stay tuned in. We have some amazing news that Kyler hinted out at the end. Right now, we're talking about the California fires. I mean, we can take a whole podcast just to talk about that because it was that grand.
It is.
It really is.
And, you know, I just mentioned the permitting, and that goes back to why is there no modular housing or that many that you see in Malibu or all of these different types of counties? And the reason is the permitting. It's you know, they were housing, you know, they had houses there that were built hundreds of years ago, yeah. I'm guessing. And, you know, that code didn't allow this. But since it's we're starting from fresh, the world's coming to a, you know, a different perspective of housing. How can we, not only us, Saddlebrook, but every modular home company, every tiny home company, be able to go and help build modular housing at twice the speed? Because Chris, you are correct. They have to in less than 2 years, unless they pull Los Angeles from the World Cup or the Olympics, they're going to have to make it an attractive place once again. Absolutely. And I know they can. There's enough people, there's enough initiative, mm-hmm. there's enough reason and purpose to rebuild fast. But the only thing I'm concerned about is the people that are going to get hurt are the people on the ground that have to rebuild the houses. And guess what's going to happen? With that much demand, we all know it, the general contractors, the subcontractors, your plumbers, your electricians, your HVAC, you're not going to have enough. So there's going to be a shortage. And guess what happens in a shortage? Everybody charges twice as much to do that work. And so unless the federal government steps in, does something about the regulations, the permitting to help address that issue, there's all for the next 4 years, next 6-8 years in rebuilding, there's going to be shortages of all trades, massive inflations of labor. People are going to start making from 500 a day to 2,000 a day just working on a crew. I mean, we all know people that their crews, I mean, there's unions out there that will make a killing. Why? Because the demand is now there. And yes, we need to rebuild, but what I don't want to see is they could have had that house built for $600,000, now it costs $2 million. Why? Materials and labor.
That's insane.
I have two takes on that. First, I don't think that people understand or know that modular housing actually looks like stick-built housing for the most part, and that it can be done.
It does.
And when it's all said done, you can build modular housing to where it basically looks very modernized. But I think there's a line where people don't understand what it could be and what it is. And so I just don't think that there's enough research. Second of all, 100% right. I think that there's going to be a big inflation come to the state of California. There's contractors and builders that are going to take advantage of it. And guess what? For the general person that doesn't understand construction, they don't care. They just need a home. Until the government steps in.
Absolutely.
Until Newsom or President Trump steps in and says, hey, we're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow price gouging. And that's where I go back to. I believe, and if you're watching this right now and if you have family in California, if you have someone in California, send this video to them, because I believe if people know and understand modular housing, if they can go to that contractor, because guess what? We're in the state of Texas. We're not going to go up on our pricing just because there's a world event that just happened. But the people in your neighborhood are going to, because they can, and they want to take advantage of you. I think people need to look into modular housing because it can save them tons of time and tons of money.
So let me ask you a question. Our modular homes are built stick built, right?
They are stick built. Here's
my perspective on that. Give me one second. Listen, California doesn't use stick built. Like they use cinder blocks. And they use stucco. So can we make that shift in the modular game to make modular pieces out of cinder blocks, out of cement, to fight these fires?
I think the answer is yes. But the other thing, going back to codes and regulations, is we can still have that same look with how we're building today.
Yeah.
You know, the homes that were built 100 years ago in California, they're, you know, every house still burned down, right? Whether it was concrete, whether it was wood, whether it was metal, they still burned down. So it, you know, the fire protection is not what the materials you build with.
You're right.
That was just the code set for aesthetics, looks and all of that, which we still can accommodate that. But the biggest thing is, what's the most affordable option that people can choose? And I just want to bring to the market an option for them to choose from. Not saying that everyone's going to go with a modular home. Not everyone's going to go with a traditional stick-built home. People, you know, I'm guessing if California would let, they would, you know, the mobile home companies would gladly bring in 50,000 mobile homes. But, you know, they don't want that.
They don't.
And I don't want that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Just for the fact of, I don't like how a mobile home looks.
Definitely not.
Or, you know, how they're built.
Here's the thing. I mean, California is an expensive state.
It is.
You know, so even the people who are struggling living paycheck to paycheck, they're making good money. You know, that's California for you. But I think what would be a good idea to really regulate it is if the government does step in, right? Hey, listen, we're going to let nationwide bids on these jobs. Whoever gets the best bid gets the job. You know, I think that could be an option, because it's true. I mean, plumbers are going to start to charge double, triple. Does that make sense? And
I do have one thing on that.
Absolutely.
If an outside company, like a plumbing company, comes in, they're still going to have to charge that rate. Why? Because they're going to have to rent at an insanely high price just to house their employees, because they don't have a home there. So they're going to be renting for top dollar. Wow. Guess what? They're going to have per diem. That's going to be high. They're going to have, you know, their daily rates.
So what's the solution?
Insurance.
What really?
It's all of us working together. That's the solution.
I think, guys, in the comments, if you guys have some solutions, if you have some ways to think that, hey, we could solve this way, put in the comments some ways that you guys think that we can solve this crisis. Not just in California, but in the whole world,
right,
of the housing crisis, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know what's so insane? The government has so much power to do things, but they also have so much power to do nothing. you know, and that's just like the sad part, because based on the money we've given away, and I don't want to get political, but it just gets me so angry, right? Based on all the money we've given away, I mean, we could have built 10 new Dubais in the United States, right? So why can't we build California right away? You know, why does it have to take so long for us to create a plan? I mean, we have the money. We just don't want to give it out to the American people. I really don't understand the logic behind that. I don't understand what they're trying to do. I hope there's change with this new with our new president-elect Donald Trump. My hope is, you know, he put a cap on credit cards, right? Or that's what he's going to do, he says. So credit card companies, their profits are over 50%. You know, they're definitely price gouging us. People can't make their minimum payments because they've gone so much up. They've gone up. The interest rates have gone up. Trump said 10%. Boom, that's it, until Americans can catch up. I pray and I hope that Trump does the same thing with California. He says, hey, this is the cap until Americans can catch up. America needs to catch up. You know, if you just gave Americans the opportunity to save $10,000 a year, mm-hmm. $7,000 a year, what would America look like? I mean, now we're getting into
country.
We're getting into a deeper issue, you know, like.
I mean, now we're going to go into more credit card debt in California. I mean, if you don't have the money,
you're going to have to. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you guys, $770 is not, let's be real. It's not going nowhere. Like, yeah.
Now, where's that money going to go to?
I mean,
where it always
diapers
go.
And what?
Where's that money going to go to?
You mean the $770 that they get? It's going to go from them to who?
The government.
Business owners and government. Yeah.
Here's a perspective I have. I'm not too sure if it's like too appropriate. I think it is. But like the transfer of wealth that's going to go on during rebuilding. I mean, there's going to be a lot of new billionaires.
Yes.
I mean, imagine all the food, the business owners, all the food people buy, all the clothes they need to buy, all the plates, forks, couches, furniture. I mean, everyone's going to be buying everything.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Here's my take on it. Here's my take. And I want to hear from you what you think about this. I think the middle class are going to get wiped out. I think the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. And it's a sad way that has to happen. And I don't see another way. I don't see another way. That's my take on it. Because what's going to happen? You just said it. Where's the $700 going to go? There's these big companies that have all this venture cap, this VC money. They have all the investors. You can't break them. And then they come in and they sell products for cheaper. The middle guy, the small business is wiped out. That's my take.
The biggest thing that we're also not talking about is, hypothetically, what if the governor would just take their land away?
Wow. I was on Twitter the other day, X, and the whole Pacific Palisades has been wiped out. And if you've ever been to California, you know, when you drive up the Pacific Coast Highway, like I have multiple times, you can't see the coast because there's these homes, like 20, 30 million, $40 homes. So you're driving down this beautiful scenery, but you can't see the beach because these homes are in front. Now you get this beautiful, I mean, sadly, with these homes being burned down, you get to see the beautiful coast. And that question did come up. Will the government take this land away from them?
And so then they would lose everything. What stops them from doing that? That's the question. That's interesting. We might have to speak about that once we get some more information on that.
Absolutely.
About if that could happen. And is that what the world's coming to? What is the world? What is the new age? What does that look like?
I mean, the question that I have is, what if the governor adds more regulations and restrictions? And let's say you're in a nice neighborhood and they say, okay, you can only build this home. And it costs $2 million.
And if you can't, then
you're going to be forced out.
Wow.
And then it's going to be...
That's just so... It really is.
People that have money control what they want, their agenda is going to wipe out the people that need the most help. That is my number one concern. If there's BlackRock, there's all of these companies that come in and say, I want that land.
Yeah.
And you're forced to sell it
because
yes, now what happens?
Right. That's a forced sale because remember when I said the topic that if your insurance dropped you, and I don't see how that can happen if you have a mortgage on it. I don't see how that can happen. But let's just hypothetically say he did.
26 years in your property, you pretty much have your mortgage paid off.
That's true. So let's just say you can't rebuild, your insurance is not paying you. And then a company like BlackRock, all these, the big companies that own a lot of real estate, they come in and they say, hey, you can't build on here. You don't have no money. Let me give you a cash offer. Those people will leave. They'll take that offer and go to Texas. They'll go to Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, somewhere where they can take that cash and put that cash into a new home.
Yeah.
Because if they had a house that, you know, that was grandfathered into the code, that was already built 100 years ago, they couldn't tear it down. Mm. You know, that municipality, the HOA had to, you know, be okay with that house. Now that homeowner that's been there for 26 plus years or 30 years or whatever, now they can't even afford to build because they're requiring you to build a $4 million house or a $10 million house. You can't afford that. I can't afford that. And so that's my biggest concern is the location of where the fires were. There's a lot of homeowners that owned nice houses in nice neighborhoods, but bought them 20, 30, 40 years ago or generations ago. And now they don't have millions of dollars like the rich. So what are they going to do? They're going to be sitting on a property that they can control the price of how much the property's worth, right? Because everyone around them is rich. So what happens to them?
So here's what's like insane about this conversation. We're just going deeper and deeper and deeper.
What a rabbit hole.
No, because it's true and it will happen. Because I have another perspective. How about people who locked in 2% interest rates?
Oh my.
Oh. And now that's so sad. People's lives are actually being ruined. Like they will literally have, unless you have financial stability, you will have no other option but to leave LA.
Correct.
It is insane.
I didn't even think about that. If you had a 2%, 2.99% interest rate, your payment was X, and now you had to build back at a higher price.
And now insurance is higher because insurance paid out so much.
And then your interest rate is 6% plus. I'm not sure what prime is to that.
4.5%, 5.3%.
Okay. I don't think the general public, I don't think the people that don't live that will feel, I don't feel like they understand the pain that some people are going through right now.
No.
Because a 2% rate, let's say the home cost them $500,000 5 years ago, but now it costs $700,000 or $800,000 to rebuild at a 7% interest rate.
It's insane.
What's the payment going to be? Maybe we'll put on the screen when they edit the podcast how much that difference would be at 2% rate at a $500,000 home, and then what a 7% mortgage rate at $700,000 would be, what that payment difference would be.
Coming out of Christmas, if their credit score 4 years ago was a great credit score, had a great interest rate, but now something happened in the credit, because we're at a higher credit card debt than we've ever been as a country. So what if they're at a 600 plus credit score? They can't even get approved for another mortgage.
What happens? They gotta go. Everyone had money in 2020 is the feeling. Like everyone had money.
And good credit.
And good credit.
But what if they missed a credit card payment? Or what if they had a mortgage that the insurance didn't cover? So now they're having to figure out how to cover that. Or the bank now forecloses, takes their land, dumps their credit in the trash. What are they left with?
So what happens?
That's the
question. What can we do?
So, I mean, that question leads us to the end of the podcast. So, guys, before we end the podcast and we go to our closing statements, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Tiny Home Podcast. Again, we strive to be the number one tiny home podcast in the world, powered by our beautiful Saddlebrook. We aim to build dreams, transform lives. The big question, what happens? And my answer is, I don't know. But what I can say is, what can we do? So Colin, in the beginning of the podcast, he said every sale from now to the end of January, we will be donating $100 to a charity, to a church, to the community. We still have to figure it out. But not only that, Kyler was mentioning something super special. I mean, I'm super excited for you to announce, Kyler. And you almost gave it away at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah. So, Kyler, take control of this conversation and let them know what special offer is Saddlebrook
this offering. Is so freaking exciting for me. So we're giving away a tiny home.
No,
we're giving away a tiny home. The crazy part, because when I first started this, I honestly didn't realize and understand how many people wanted a tiny home. I didn't understand how many people wanted a home. And right now we're doing a giveaway on a tiny home. The link is going to be in the bio. It'll be on all of our social medias going on. You can go buy your tickets. It's only $250 and we're only selling out 250 spots. So if you want to have a chance to win your own tiny home in your backyard, we're making that option available for you. Then this is probably the only time that we're doing this crazy thing. We might do it again. I don't know. When does it start? All the details will be in the bottom. When they hit the link, all the details will be there. But $250, that gives them a chance to own a tiny home in their backyard. Or there's awesome. Going to be four winners. All the information is there. They even have a chance to win $30,000.
So you're telling me you could win a tiny home or $30,000?
$30,000 cash.
That sounds like a lie, but I'll take your word for it. That is an insane offer.
We said it on the podcast. It's got to happen.
I don't think we've ever offered that. But again, guys, we are giving away a free tiny home. But not only that, $100 for each shell that we make to the fire victims. And are we having any discounts for anybody who wants to buy a tiny home affected by these fires?
It just depends. You know, we don't have anything right now, but that's not to say that we won't come up with something. And it's not going to be the first 30 days.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't, you know, we're not rushing today. But if you are affected from California, looking at rebuilding in the states that we offer, come talk to me, talk to Chris. Chris will get with me. Chris will get with Kyler. We'll put together a package to help you in every way that we can, whether that's, you know, finding land, finding the right spot, the right general contracting for, you know, your if we need to do your foundations, your porches, your decks, your plumbing, your electric on site. So we'll help in any way that we can. So if you are wanting to move in the locations that we offer, we will do everything in our power to help you transition over.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we even have some rental places in town here that we can put them in. So let us know.
Absolutely, guys. Well, Kyler, Colton, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And for all our viewers, thank you so much for joining the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebrook. Like I said, the number one tiny home podcast in the world. Guys, before we leave, please consider subscribing. Drop a comment if you liked what we spoke about, if you have any ideas on how we can help the California victims. And guys, if you liked the podcast, drop a like. Lastly, if you liked our podcast, share it with someone that you think that might also like it. Guys, it's Kyler, Colton, and Chris, and we're gonna head out. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.